Okay, this is our third week of Mother's Day sermon. As is often, I don't get finished, and I don't have to anymore. I just go as I go. Actually, I kind of wrapped it up last week, the main sermon, and I just had one illustration at the end. And when I got to the illustration, I said, you know what? That deserves a sermon. So that's kind of where we are today. We've been looking at God's character as it's illustrated in mothers, which is not to say, you know, as the liberals and the feminists and all these other folks say, you know, that, you know, there's a mother God. No, God is our Father, but God reveals himself in the totality of mankind. The image of God is shown in male and female, and God's character, certain aspects of God's attributes are revealed in mothers, and the Bible's clear about that. We looked at that. We saw how God's nature was revealed in our earthly mothers. And I won't preach those sermons again, but we saw how God's compassion is like unto the compassion of a mother. That God's comfort is like unto the comfort of a mother. And that God's sacrifice is like unto that of a sacrifice of a mother. They illustrate those things, however imperfectly. And we concluded last week by looking not only in the human realm, but in nature, in the animal kingdom, God reveals his attributes, his character in mothers. And we looked at a verse last week, just mentioned it, and we're going to look at it a little closer today. Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her youth, or her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. The Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. And the hymn that's being spoke of there is National Israel, and by application and implication, you know, all of God's elect. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, we're told. That word stirreth literally speaks and is the same word that would be used to wake up, to awaken. As the Lord, as the eagle awakens her nest, as the eagle stirs up her nest, you know, God awakens his chosen people. God quickens his chosen people. And them alone, you know, the mother eagle, it's her nest. Stirreth up her nest. And the Lord stirs up his people. He awakens his people. He quickens his people. He gives them life. He isn't trying as hard as he can to try to, you know, awaken everybody. No, he awakens those that are his. Just as the eagle stirs up her nest, awakens her nest. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Some folks think I'm a heretic because I believe in eternal justification before God, not in our own minds. But how else could it be? No one's been able to explain it to me. If we're in Christ, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. If we were in Christ before the foundation of the world, how could we be in Christ and unjustified? No, don't think so. God looks at his son, sees us, but we're born dead in trespasses and sin like the rest of because of our fallen Adam. But God, his people were chosen in Christ, and they were justified before him, not in our own minds, not before the world, but before him. And just as the eagle stirs up her nest, it's the Lord's nest. And John 17, the Lord prays, John 17, verse 24. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, just as the eagle's nest, it was hers, those that you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The ones that God the Father gave God the Son, he prays that they be with him, and they will. In John 5, the Lord says, John 5, verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up, or stirs, or awakens, or quickens, as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, again, that word means give them life. As the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You know, those that walk the aisle, those that make it, no, he quickens whom he will. John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Again, the eagle stirs her own nest. She awakens her own nest. The Lord awakens and quickens his own people. Several biblical examples, you know, that came to mind. I'm sure I could come up with more. You know, the Lord was brought to Lazarus' tomb, and he's a dear friend of his, and his sisters are weeping at his death. And the Lord stands out here at these tombs. And he says, whoever's in there that decides they want to come, y'all come on. Or he says, whoever's inclined to make a decision, you come on. No, that's not what happened. The Lord stood out that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. That gives me goosebumps. The Lord stirred his own nest. He stood out there, he said, Lazarus, you come forth. And he didn't wait for Lazarus to make a decision. He didn't say, Lazarus, I tell you what, buddy, that's what you hear at most churches today. Lazarus, if you take the first step, I'll do the rest. You see, Lazarus was dead, and he stunk. Then that was our condition before the Lord quickened us and gave us life. We were dead, and we stunk. That's all that unregenerated man can do is stink. He can't make a decision. He stinks. But the Lord stands out and he says, Lazarus, come forth! And he came forth. Many other examples. I won't go into the details, but, you know, where the Lord deals with a mother that lost a child. And Luke 17, verse 14. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, whoever wants to. No, he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise! Sounds like he was stirring his nest. You know? And here, of course, in a literal sense, in a physical sense, but and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise! And he that was dead sat up. That was the case for all of us when the Lord quickened us. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Another case at the death of a young lady, Luke 8 and verse 54. And he came and put them all out and took her by the hand and called and said, whoever wants to, y'all just rise. No, he said, he called and said, maid, arise. And her spirit came again and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. Listen, not one of the Lord's nests will be overlooked. Not one that was given by the Father shall perish. Not one! Not one for whom Christ died shall perish. He did not die in vain for any. I don't think it could be said much more clearly than it was by the angel who was announcing the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 1:21. And the angel said, and she shall bring forth a son. Because he's speaking to Joseph, he's kind of like, what was going on here, you know? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. He shall, and I'm going to try. He says, for he's going to try to save everybody, and if they'll let him, he will. No. For he shall save his people. He shall save his people. That's one of those hard shalls I find in Scripture. And if somebody wants to call me a hard shell because I'm a hard shall, I don't care. When it says he shall, I believe it means he shall. For he shall save his people from their sins. John 10, the Lord says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Whose sheep? My sheep. My nest. My sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The eagle stirs her own nest. She awakens her own nest. The Lord awakens those that are his, those that were given him by the Father. Who are they? I don't know. What does an elect man look like? I don't know. You know, it's like what we used to say in banking. You used to have somebody come up and you have a check and you didn't have everything just right. And you'd go to the head teller and you'd say, well, he looks like an honest man. And she'd say, what does an honest man look like? And I've shared so many times before, we've been studying in Galatians. You know, Saul of Tarsus, I would have said, no, he's a reprobate. He's going to bust hell wide open. But he was one of God's elect. And he didn't slip through the Lord's hands. And I don't know what they look like. I don't know who they are. My job's to proclaim that it's finished. It's to proclaim the message that Christ has died and completed the atonement for his people. Those for whom it's intended will receive. And not an offer. It's not a deal. It's not Monte Hall. Come on down. Let's make a deal. God doesn't work that way. It's finished. It's the good news. News is something that's already happened. You proclaim what something's already happened. It is finished. Well, that's where it's supposed to be. I don't even know where it is today. You know, you turn on the television and what's going on there? Who knows? But news is a proclamation of something that's happened. And you don't change anything by doing it. So, I got the first point there, and I'll move along. An eagle stirreth up her nest. Second, it says, she fluttereth over her young. She flutters over them. You know, that's a picture of God's protection. God knows those that are his, and he protects them. He flutters over them. It doesn't mean you're never going to have problems. You know, they might throw you in a fire, like they did the Hebrew children. And those Hebrew children knew that God was fluttering over them, and they told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, you give it your best shot. We might die in that fire, or we might not. But even if we die in that fire, all we're doing is going home. God's taking us out of your control. You have no more power over us. That's the worst they can do to us, is send us home. And I think there's a lot of them would like to do that right now. Increasingly so. And they might have to do that if they come here and try to stick me in the arm or the knee. Yeah, they might just have to do that. And I kind of think, and seek the Lord's guidance, but I kind of think that maybe, you know, I should send some of them on their way too when they come. as a protection for myself and my family and my loved ones. And anyway, I don't want to get into all that. God flutters over his young. He sovereignly protects those that are his. You know, Romans 8:28. Paul says a very familiar verse to us. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together. How could that be apart from God's absolute sovereignty and his absolute predestination of all things? If he's kind of caught by surprise sometimes and something happens, he's, oh no, I never would have. No. All things work together for good because he's sovereign and because he's deigned this for his people. Even wicked people. He raises up and uses. He used Pharaoh. He used Herod. He used Bush. He used Obama. He used Trump. He uses all these wicked people. He's in control. They don't intend to do his will, but they do. And so in that we can rest. And they're accountable for their evil deeds. It's just like the scripture said that those that crucified Christ did what had before been determined to be done. But it says that wicked hands did. They were in rebellion against heaven. The more men rebel against heaven, the more they accomplish God's decreed will. That ought to give us a little rest. Psalm 91, verse 1, beginning in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Flutters over his young. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And from the noisome pestilence, he shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. God flutters over his own. He protects it. We can trust regardless of what comes. This too is the hand of God. Prophet Isaiah says, Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall arise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Don't matter what they say about you. Don't matter what they try to do to you. They come up with new names. Who was that idiot that was on Reagan's staff and stuff that's recently been saying, you know, everybody has to get vaccinated and there's no constitutional right not to? I can't remember his name now. Anyway, but he started calling. Now we're vaccine truthers. You know, they talk about truthers, 9/11 truthers. So now you want to apply that to us, you know, smear stuff. So we're vaccine truthers. And but you know, his position is that everybody, you know, government can make you take a vaccine in your arm. They can make you take this. No, they can't. And they can kill me. But they can't make me do that. And it's totally contrary to our God-given natural rights. Government doesn't own me. God owns me. And in the human realm, I own. Okay. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not thou dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So God stirs up his nest. He awakens his people. And he flutters over his young as the mother eagle fluttered over her young, those that belong to her. Next point. And spreadeth abroad her wings. And spreadeth abroad her wings. And I think that speaks of God's provision for his people. God's people aren't always the richest folks in town. They don't always have the most. But God will see to their needs. They may think they need some things, they don't. But God will see to their needs. He spreads his wings as the eagle spreads her wings abroad. You know, her wings, she hunts, she goes around, she goes abroad, she brings, she provides for hers. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Paul writes to the saints in Philippi, Philippians 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The psalmist noted in Psalm 37, verse 25, I've been young and now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen begging bread. And of course, the Lord told us in Matthew 6, 33, trust God, he'll meet your needs. You may not know what your needs are, but he'll meet them. Matthew 6, 33, the Lord said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can trust God. And God will provide for his own. So the eagle awakens her own. She stirs her own nest. She flutters over her young. She protects them. She spreads her wings abroad. She provides for them. And then we see at the end of that of verse 11, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. She taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Birds, sometimes that's how they teach young. They take them on their wings. They teach them to fly. They bring them to maturity. And the Lord works in the lives of his people to sanctify them. He teaches us to fly. His people. Romans 8:29, Paul wrote, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. For those he foreknow, that guy was arguing with me this way. He takes that whole idea of foreknowledge and he makes, you know, boils it down to prescience. You know, like God's a cosmic fortune teller. He foresees. No, that word foreknow means foreloved. It speaks of God's foreordination. Just as Adam knew his wife. You know, that word is used throughout Scripture of love, physical and emotional. For whom he did foreknow, for those whom he loved with an everlasting love, those who he knew before they were, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He beareth them, she bears them on her wings. She teaches them to fly. He conforms us to the image of his Son. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ephesians, Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. She teaches her young to fly. You know, the Lord brings us to be conformed to the image of his Son. She beareth them on her wings. Ephesians 2, verse 8, familiar passage, and the verses following. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. He bears us on his wings. Teaches us to fly. He conforms us to the image. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. God has a purpose, just like the mother eagle teaches her youth her young to fly. The Lord conforms his own to the image of Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's determined these things, you see. It's just as much as our salvation, you know, that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. And so, she stirs her own nest, she flutters over her own young, she spreads abroad her wings, and she taketh them and beareth them on her wings. And then, the application is made of the mother eagle, in this case to Israel, to Judah, by application as well to God's elect. And look what it says here in verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him. Salvation is of God, not of you. It's not of me. It's not because of something you did or some decision you made. The Lord alone did lead him. There were no strange God with him. A lot of strange gods out there today. Mm-hmm. We could get into a lot of that. And a lot of them being preached in so-called Christian churches today. A lot of them being preached in so-called Baptist churches today. Strange gods. No, but here the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. The Lord alone did it. God is absolutely sovereign. God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. God is absolutely sovereign in all things. Now, you know, the religious world disagrees with us. They say, well, they know they're supposed to believe in the sovereignty of God. You know, folks call me on the phone. I'll say, are you sovereign grace? And I say, well, you believe in the absolute sovereignty? Oh, yeah, I believe in God's sovereignty. And I explain to them, you know, the sort of things we talked about this morning. No, I don't believe that. Well, I don't know what you think sovereignty means. The Lord alone did lead him. Here's what the psalmist says. Psalm 3 and verse 8. Salvation belongeth not unto him that makes a decision, not unto him that walks an aisle. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Of course, that word Selah means, think about it a little bit. It's a pause, really a musical pause, perhaps, but pause. Stop and think about this a little bit. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The Lord alone did lead him. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Again, Psalm 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. I'm thankful the Lord was pleased to teach me some of these things. I didn't always understand as much as I do now, and I don't claim to understand everything. But I don't know how people can have peace thinking, well, did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? I'm going to tell you what. He did the right thing, and he said, it is finished! And he saved his people from their sins. Salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Poor old Jonah had to get his thinking adjusted a little bit. Had to get swallowed by a whale. Eventually vomited it up and all that stuff. Eventually, Jonah comes to understand, and, well, as much as men do, later on Jonah has some issues as well, you know. He's not always happy with the way the Lord does some things. And truth be told, sometimes, perhaps we're not always as we ought to be. But Jonah said this in Jonah 2 and verse 9, just before the Lord had him vomited up out of the whale. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And again, as we already looked at that passage in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it comes down to these two things, and you know, I get tired of arguing with people, and you know, I just don't have time to go on people convinced of these things, but it's either all God, or, you know, the idea of what is sometimes called synergism, Arminianism, Pelagianism. It's like, you know, we have to work with, God has to work with us. It's synergism. It's we work together with God to bring about our salvation. And there are varying degrees of that, I understand. There are some, which you might call high Arminians, that have, a little bit better grasp of these things. No, it's term we use, monergism. Mono. One. It's God. It's God alone. It's the doctrines of grace, as we call them. Salvation, and boil it all down, we can boil it down like Jonah did. Salvation is of the Lord. And so, I'm going to wrap this up. I went over, maybe all we're going to do sometimes today. But I finished it, and we'll go on to something else next week. Maybe get back to something in Galatians, or who knows how the Lord leads. But God's attributes, God's character is demonstrated by His plan and design by mothers. We saw verse upon verse by mothers in the human realm, by mothers as we've seen today in the animal kingdom. Because God's created it all, and it's all to His glory. And it's not an accident. It's not like you say, oh, well, look at the way mothers are. Maybe I could use that to illustrate the way I... No, God designed it all. I don't understand it, how it all fit together, because God decreed it. God determined it. It's precisely as He intended. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences. I was listening to Judy Mikowski or Michael Vitz the other day, and she just said, you know, she reminds me a lot of what happened to her, what happened to, like, Franklin. You know, the jackbooted thugs came to her house, just like the jackbooted thugs came to Franklin's house. And they both seemed to have the same attitude about it. She was like, there's no coincidences for a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, there are no accidents. Whereas Franklin's wife said, those jackbooted thugs couldn't be here unless God sent them. Well, I hope I have my head in the right place when it happens. But that's true. No accident. Precisely as He intended, precisely as He ordained, precisely as He decreed. And so here we see a mother eagle that illustrates the attributes of God. God's love towards His people, His care for them, His awakening them. And so, as we go forward, let us trust in God, our Father. Let us trust in His attributes that He has chosen Himself to reveal in the traits of mothers. And thus ends my Mother's Day sermon. After 3 weeks. Okay? So we'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 96, Christ Arose. Number 96. If you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn.
Coming day, Jesus, my Lord. From the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his wounds. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you set aside as yours. The first day of the week upon which our Lord and Savior arose, having completed our atonement, having had all the punishment that we deserved poured out upon him. Father, we can't begin to comprehend such love, but we thank you that you've made us the recipients of it. Lord, we thank you for the promise that he shall save his people from their sins. Lord, that even as the eagle stirs her own nest, our Savior quickens whom he will. He quickens those that were given him in that everlasting covenant. Father, we know that's our only source of peace, our only source of hope. Lord, I pray that we might go forth and be used of thee, that we might truly be conformed to the image of your Son, that we might show forth whose we are. Lord, thank you again for each one that's here. Thank you for bringing Brother Dreyfus our way. We pray your hand on him as he returns home. We thank you, Lord, that Brother Howell was able to be with us today. Thank you, Lord, for my own dear wife and her support and encouragement through the years, for those who may have listened in today to our Facebook podcast. Lord, may you be glorified in all. Lord, by your grace, may your people be strengthened, encouraged, and Lord, may we stand. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.